You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The insurance company IAG has carried out a survey in Aotearoa investigating attitudes towards living in areas affected by climate change. I spoke to Dr. Nikki Hare, an environmental psychologist from the University of Auckland, about the topic, and I started by asking what psychological mechanisms might promote the apathy we've seen as concern about climate change plateaus.
I think it's really interesting looking at those results. I've had a bit of a flick through that people are becoming more aware that this is an issue that is happening now and in a really tangible way, and that there are specific parts of New Zealand that are vulnerable for different reasons. So it's like, instead of this abstract idea that might happen in the future and we're not quite clear who will be involved, we're starting to see it as a really tangible present issue that involves certain groups of identifiable people. So this gets us thinking about who's responsible, and in the, you know, the way society works, who's going to pay for that, how quickly are we going to move on that, and all of those kinds of issues. In tandem with that, which what I think is really interesting too, is that slight decrease that we're seeing in people knowing how to respond to climate change or what to do. And I think that's again related to the move from the somewhat abstract long-term issue, in which we can, you know, ride our bikes or compost so that we're not filling landfills with methane-producing products and so on, to this is actually happening right now in a very specific way, and I haven't a clue how to stop that.
And saying that overall concern is plateauing, it does seem that the dynamics of people's existing worries seem to be morphing a little bit. So more people have expressed their desire for the government to take the lead on climate change rather than having the onus on themselves or business owners or other entities like that. But would you say that that's a new development, or have people been shifting their responsibility in their own minds since the beginning of the issue?
It might be due to the nature of the things that we're seeing. So when we're talking about sea level rise and flooding and issues like that, we're talking about property, and we're talking about strategies that involve potentially, you know, sea level walls or, you know, channels to allow the water to come into the land with less destruction to the built environment and so on. And so those kinds of issues are things that we traditionally think of as the purview of government, often local government actually, so the city council, but also national government. So my suspicion is that it's because of the framing deflecting or orienting people towards a government response. If you think back to, again, when we started, a lot of the idea was mitigation, and that involved things like consumption of products, and that sort of intuitively takes you towards business and towards individual level responsibility.
And one intriguing finding was that people's attitudes towards others building in areas that are badly affected by flooding, for example, has shifted. So that 53% of people say that homeowners should not have the right to live in places badly affected by climate change. What kind of factors lead to such a shift in an attitude when waterfront or coastal properties, especially in this country, are generally quite desirable and kind of a status symbol, so to speak?
Yeah, well, I mean, that whole thing of them being desirable and a status symbol sets up this this kind of dual focus in terms of the minds of people who don't own one of those properties, because I think there's possibly a bit of a sense of, well, the rich need to look after themselves. If you can afford a house in one of these fancy areas, then you can afford to shift or, you know, pay for the seawall or whatever it is. I think if you'd find if it was poorer communities that were hit, people would be, you know, a little less quick to jump on the idea that these people should look after themselves. Now, what to me is really interesting about the discourse of it's kind of your problem as an individual is that it's a very, very dangerous discourse for getting community change that people buy into. So if you're told that tough luck, you know, you built in an area where sea level rise was and is happening. Over to you, mate. Then you are going to fight tooth and nail to avoid the council, you know, marking your land as vulnerable, to avoid insurance companies sort of dipping out of the scene when it comes to looking after you. But the alternative is some kind of somewhat more generous attitude towards that, in the sense of recognising that people make choices based in conditions of uncertainty, that it could have been you that made that choice if you happened not to, and that we really need to think about a very staged and very gradual pulling out of these situations, so that people don't feel that they've missed out, and therefore sort of fight and resist the potential change.
That was me speaking with Dr. Nikki Harray, an environmental psychologist at the University of Auckland. Nikki and I also discussed the importance of putting a community focus back on the issue and the disparities of attitudes depending on whether an individual is directly affected or not.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.